Paul gives the team a thumbs up. The team flips their headset switches and syncs their watches. An anxious knot in Reuben's stomach tightens with each tick of the analog clock. A faint, pulsating buzz pierces through the platform's plexiglass floor as its bright luminance progressively fills their sight. The noise grows exponentially louder each passing second. The alien sound reminds him of a cross between an electric organ and a hurricane's wind tearing the panels off a house. Paneled lights lining the columns come to life, mirroring the ambiance of its accompanying sound. They spin and pick up speed, roaring in might and flexing their ferocity. The lights become brighter. The sound grows louder. The fear in his heart permeates into his bones. "Destination," Paul's voice crackles over the headset. "18 August 1590. Objective, to collect any information that may lead to the capture of Adam Drazen." The rotating columns pick up speed. Reuben looks on as each watch strapped to a team member pulses in unison. He looks into each of their eyes and sees the same petrified look on their faces as if peering into a mirror of his soul. He knows he can't allow them to see him cower. Fear is rational. Cowardice is death. "We got this," Reuben says with a firm tone. The light, sound, and energy unite, shedding autonomy and embracing its call. Ricochets of their unison batter the travelers, blinding their eyes and piercing their ears. They instinctively cringe and cover, struggling to protect their senses from an untamed fury as it rattles to break from its chains and devour them clean from the fabrics of space-time. Suddenly, it ceases. Reuben's eyes open to find themselves on the other side. The smooth plexiglass floor is gone. Dirt, sand, and pine needles now pave a more rugged terrain. "Team, are we up?" Reuben says.
"One up."
"Two up."
"Three up."
Reuben looks down at his limbs, checking that he made it in one piece before readdressing the team.
"Okay, if we timed it right, John White should have just arrived," Reuben says. "We'll make contact as planned and see what we can learn. Sky, how far out are we?"
She taps her watch several times.
"About half a mile south of the site. If we stay along the coast on the other side of these trees, it should lead us straight there."
Reuben nods and turns to Alex.
"How are comms looking?"
"We have a strong signal, at least where we're standing," Alex responds. "But there seems to be pockets where it goes in and out. If something happens while we're in a bad pocket, then we might not be able to make the link to jump back."
"Can we talk from a bad pocket?"
"To yourself, sure."
"All right, we'll keep an eye on the pockets and make periodic discreet radio checks to headquarters," Reuben says before turning his attention to Caleb.
"Point in the direction and I'll shoot at it," Caleb says.
"Hopefully it won't come to that, but we do need to proceed with caution. The relations between the settlers and some of the local tribes have, well, you know."
"Yeah, I know." Caleb rolls up a sleeve. "Gone to shit."
The team edges beside the tree line parallel to the coast. A mild breeze skirts along the Chesapeake, grazing the shore with its timid presence, failing to overcome the late summer sun as it beats down against their heavy fabrics. The humid air clings to any exposed skin, sporing sweat and breeding misery. It invites its mosquito companions to share in its spoils and drink of its harvest. A ship lies anchored within sight, resting in the calm waters of Roanoke Sound, bordering the island's east barrier. Reuben suspects this to be the ship that Governor John White brought, filled with supplies for the settlers of the colony. Perhaps it's the first ship that Roanoke Island has seen in 3 years. With quiet feet and rifles raised, they close in on the settlement's perimeter. Silence looms between the buzzing of bugs and the crackling of stray twigs beneath them as they pass. A large tree breaks their path. Carved into its bark, the letters CRO stare back at them. Reuben raises his hand and grazes the engraving.
"Hey!"
a loud but distant voice yells. The team immediately swings their rifles toward the voice in unison.
"Who goes there?"
a different voice calls out, this time even closer. They look up as a dozen men storm toward them with rifles of their own pointing in their direction.